I cannot begin to tell you how good it is to see every one of you that are here this morning. Take your Bibles, if you have them, you're turning over to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. We're going to be coming to that text here in just a little while. The sermon I'm preaching for you this morning is a sermon I actually worked up for myself a few years ago when I knew that I was moving back to Searcy 5 years ago. I was having all kinds of plans of what I was going to be doing with me and my dear friend, Bob Hell. And I was looking so forward to all the time we were going to spend together because he is one of my closest friends in life. And we worked so much in the kingdom together. He's probably one of the best friends I've ever had. And I was looking so forward to being back with Bob and working with him. And then he died. Sure didn't see that one coming. And so this sermon I worked up for me after my dear friend passed away and after I realized, okay, things are going to be quite different than what I was expecting. And so I have to try to figure out where we are and just go forward. I entitled the sermon, Continual Reorientation in an Ever-Changing Life. And the best way I want to start this sermon is by reminding some of you that have known us for a long, long time of a game we used to play at our house over on Joyce Street when we lived here the first time. We would have a lot of the members of the congregation over to our house and we would play games. And one of the games we played is, you remember, we would get a bat. And then we would take the bat and put it on the ground and put our head on the top of the bat and then run around the bat 10 times and then drop the bat and run to the finish line. And we always enjoyed doing that because we laughed at each other because you try to run straight and you go sideways, or you go sideways a few steps and you're down. And you get up and you're doing everything you can to focus and reorient your mind on where it is you're trying to go to, but it's difficult to do because of what you've just experienced. Now, that's fun when it's a game. And you may laugh at it when it's a game. But it's not fun, and you don't laugh at it when it's life. And so that's what I want to be talking with you about this morning. And that is how our life is continually in a process of change. Going to the scriptures now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, he says, "For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Everything you see is temporary. Guess what? I see you. You're temporary. I see the possessions I have, my car, my house. They're temporary. This building in which we're in right now, it's temporary. Everything is falling apart and dying. And you cannot stop that reality. And so understanding that reality, that everything is temporary that you see, then you need to recognize you and your world are in a continual state of change. There's an old saying, a Japanese or Chinese proverb, you can't walk through the same stream twice. And the idea is, even though you may make the same steps, the water that was there in the stream has moved on. And so you may be in the same location, but life and time has moved on. And so recognize this reality about you and understand that what we're trying to do in life is, in this continual change that is happening, we're trying to continually be reoriented. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, "Set your mind on things above and not on things on the earth." It's not on your outline. I added this to the sermon. Because, you know, I was giving the opening an example of the game we used to play, and that is you go around the bat and then you have the goal you're trying to run to. Well, where we're trying to set our mind on, where it is we're trying to get to, are the things that are above, the things that are eternal. And so in this ever-continuing, changing life, we're doing the best we can to continually orient our mind toward the goal, to orient our mind toward God and heaven. That being said, now let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I asked you to turn there because I want you to read this with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, I'm beginning out here in verse 1. "To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die. Time to plant, time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill, time to heal. A time to break down, a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. a time to gain, a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. If you look at that very closely, you'll notice that what you have here are opposites. Time to laugh, time to cry. Time to love, time to hate. Those are direct opposites. The whole list is direct opposites. So one of the things I learned about this continual changing life is it's a roller coaster. Now, when I say it's a roller coaster, some of you may think, well, I like roller coasters. Good for you. I get on them, and people talk me into getting on them. I think, I can handle this. I got this. And then after the bottom drops out, I think, let me off this thing. That's kind of how life is. In the same day, you can have laughter and crying. In the same hour, you can have laughter and crying. Because it is a continual change. And we need to recognize this reality of our temporary existence that is continual in fluctuation and change around us. And sometimes the bottom drops out. Now going back to the outline that you have in front of you. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. I return and saw unto the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. So in our life of continual change, there's time and chance. And yet in our lives, we're doing everything to be men and women of skill, doing the best we can at whatever job it is we're doing. We're trying to be men and women of understanding and wisdom, to where we understand the right way to approach circumstances and the right way to do things. So we're doing the best we can with what we got, where we are, and yet still sometimes the bottom drops out because we are living in an ever-changing world. I want to talk to you now for a moment about finances. Do you realize there are over 150 proverbs in the book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes about finances? It shouldn't surprise you. Solomon was the wisest man in the world. He was also the richest man in the world. And so you might think the richest man who ever lived and the wisest man who ever lived would have some wisdom information on finances. And it is actually in the book of Ecclesiastes where he talks about how money answers everything. Money is necessary for survival, folks. Nothing is free. How about your baby? Well, okay, babies, you may be able to give birth at home, okay? But after they get here, yeah, it costs a lot, doesn't it? And everything that is necessary for survival, just about food, water, clothing, shelter, you have to pay for these things. And there's an old simple saying I was taught when I was young in Mississippi. There's two kinds of people in the world, those that were born rich and the rest of us have got to work. I've only known one or two people that were born rich. So that means the rest of us, to get this income to survive, we have to work. And the needs are never ending. Hunger doesn't go away. Thirst doesn't go away. The need to have a place to live doesn't go away. Your need for a good health doesn't go away. And to attain and maintain these takes money. And therein lies the struggle, isn't it? Proverbs says in chapter 23 and verse 5, "Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven." And the idea is, okay, you're focusing your mind on acquiring income. I'm saving money. I'm acquiring income. I'm almost there, and the bottom drops out. Oh, I didn't see that coming. Okay. And so you come back, and you try to get reoriented. Okay, where are we financially? Trying to balance the book. Where are we? Have we got enough to take care of things? And so you are continually trying to acquire the income, trying to survive, trying to pay the bills, trying to take care of and it's a continual changing life. The battleground continually changes. And the situations around you are continually changing. And so you come back and you say, okay, where am I? Okay, what do I need to do now? Let me give you another verse on this. Haggai 1 and verse 6. You probably maybe have felt like this verse sometimes. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put them in a bag with holes. I love that verse. It's a sad verse, but I understand what he's talking about. You know, you're trying to save money because you understand, well, I need that money. And you put it in the bag, and you look in the bag, and it's gone. Where'd it go? Where'd it go? I call them piranha bills. You know, you ever looked at piranhas? You know, and if all the flesh is gone, there are piranha bills out there in life to where you're doing the best you can to try to put together a nice little nest egg, and all of a sudden the piranha come up and it's gone. It's like a bird, like an eagle. You look at it, and all of a sudden it's gone. It's like having a bag with holes in it to where you're trying to do the best you can to get the income to take care of the needs, but the outgo is not matching the income. All right? Am I describing life fairly accurately? Good. I'm just trying to describe to you the reality of our existence. And that is, we need to survive. We need food. We need water. We need medicine. We need health. We need a place to live. We need clothing. We have these needs. And they never go away until you're dead. And so the income is a continual re-changing, reorientation, trying to continue to figure out, okay, where are we? Now then, that I've got you good and discouraged, let's come back to what I was trying to show you about the reorientation. Where is it our orientation should always be? And here's the answer. God. Are you realizing this sermon ties into last week's sermon? And all, I'm basically giving you a series of lessons here trying to help you realize that during times whenever you're continually being hit and you're trying to get reoriented and trying to figure out where you are, okay, don't forget that where we are right now is temporary. So keep your focus as best as you can on God and your hope in God and your trust in God. Look at Matthew 6, 31 through 34 with me. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. I don't know about you, but that makes it a whole lot easier for me. If I will keep my focus not on the temporary, but keep my focus on God. And again, just try to remember the thought of being on the bat and you're going around and around. You get up and you're dizzy and you're trying to figure out where you are. You don't look toward the finish line of the goal. You look toward God. And you get your reorientation and focus on God and trust in God. Then if you will just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God will provide. You know, that makes it a whole lot easier, doesn't it? That doesn't mean you don't have to work. What this means is, I've got God with me. And God knows where my needs are better than I do. God knows what's coming better than I do. And God will provide, often he will provide what you need before it even gets here. That's why sometimes when all of a sudden I start getting all kind of financial blessings, I get a little uneasy. Because I'm like, okay, what are you getting these blessings for? What's coming? But know this, he knows what's coming. He will provide. And so when you're trying to get your orientation in life, always remember the goal is heaven. The goal is God. And what we're trying to keep our mind on and stayed on is God in the middle of all the change. Psalm 37:25 says, I have been young and now I'm old, and yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. What an encouraging verse. David had lived a long life. One thing he had noticed, if you're a righteous individual, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God will take care of you. Not only will God take care of you, God will take care of your children. Because a lot of times when we're worrying not just about us, we're worrying about our family. What's going to happen to our family? Are we going to be able to take care of our family? What's going to happen to them? God will take care of them. You just focus on God and trust God. Now let's talk about another change. I jokingly tell my wife sometime around New Year's, I've got a New Year's resolution. I'm not going to grow older anymore. And you know what? The very next day, I break it. Actually, the very next second, I break it. Because we are all getting older. And we're all having change in our age. And we're all having change in our health. Going back to Ecclesiastes in chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. If you're young, hey, listen to me right now, enjoy it. Because guess what? you're not going to stay young. And you're going to grow up quickly. And your life is going to pass by in the blink of an eye. And you're going to turn around and you're an old lady or an old man. So what should you do right now if you're in the days of your youth? Learn what's important, and that is God, and get your focus on God at the very beginning of your life. Start trusting God at the very beginning of your life and following God by faith at the very beginning of your life. And your life that you do have, with all the ups and downs and all the changes and all the continual struggles, will be a whole lot easier and a whole lot more blessed because you've got your priorities straight and you understand what's important is you and your relationship with God. Notice what he says here, though, about the difficult days, before the difficult days come. He calls this in the context here of Ecclesiastes, the days of darkness. And so now I'm continuing reading here in Ecclesiastes, now chapter 12, 3 through 5. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble. You notice sometimes when people get older, they get what's called the shakes, the trembles. The strong men bow down. Unfortunately, sometimes you find yourself as you get older, you start bending over. I mean, you've seen people that just continually are bowed over. That's part of old age in some folks. When the grinders cease because they are few. You know, I got a lot of nice white things in my mouth. Guess what? They're not teeth. They're caps. In ancient times, they didn't have caps. They didn't have dentists. You just pulled your tooth when you got hurting. And so as you got older, you didn't have many teeth left. And so he's talking about the grinders cease because they're few. And you know, that's just simple reality. When you lose your teeth, does that change the way you live? When your body starts hurting and you're trembling, does that change your life? Because now you got to function with this tremble. And now you got to function bowed over. Now you got to function with fewer teeth. And he says, and those that look through the windows grow dim. Let me show you something that's really wonderful, folks. Glasses. Oh, they're wonderful. I can put them back on. I can read again. Every now and then, Linda will take her phone after I take my glasses off and say, look at this. And they go, yeah, what is it? You know, folks, in ancient times, they didn't have glasses. They didn't have contacts. And so when your eyesight left, it's gone. When you got cataracts, that's just the way it is. And so you change when your eyesight starts going away. It continues in the text. It says, when the doors are shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low, as you get older, sometimes you lose your hearing, and you find all of a sudden, you go, what? Huh? Say it again? And you have to adjust your life to not being able to hear. And he says, when one rises up at the sound of a bird, there's a change that happens in some people's life as they get older. They don't sleep as well. And the idea of getting up with the bird is, you know, the birds get up before the sun comes up. And the idea is, here you are awake in the middle of the night. And as this change starts happening in your life, guess what? You have to adjust to not having the same sleep patterns. And he says, and all the daughters of music are brought low. We've already talked about not being able to hear. Also, they are afraid of height and of the terrors in the way. I told y'all the story that when I was 5 years old or 6 years old, I used to get in a pecan tree in the backyard and play Tarzan, folks. I dove off of the top of the garage. It's crazy. I didn't have any fear. This past week, I cut two limbs off of a Japanese maple, and I was two steps up on the ladder, and I was shaking. Things changed, hadn't they? Yes. That happens with you when you realize, I can fall and break my neck real easy. I can fall and break my leg in the blink of an eye. And it says, when the almond tree blossoms, you don't know what that's describing, that's the white hair that you ladies are covering up. Nothing wrong with that, but that's just changing hair. And then he says, the grasshopper is a burden and desire fails. This is a wonderful paraphrase, or wonderful phrase here. The grasshopper is a burden. If a grasshopper lands on your shoulder, is that going to crush you? Well, no, it's just a grasshopper. I will thump it off. The idea of a grasshopper being a burden is something that is normally light and easy to deal with now crushes you and becomes extremely difficult to do. That's why they are called difficult days. because functioning and going forward and trying to live a normal life now becomes more and more difficult as the body ages, because the body's temporary and changing. 2 Corinthians 4, now verse 16 says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. All right, coming back to cold, hard reality, your physical body is temporary. It's perishing. It's growing old right now and possibly falling apart right now. It's temporary. And we're trying to hold it together as best we can with what we got for as long as we can. And yet in the end, no matter how much doctors you go to and how much medicine you take, you're going to die because you're temporary. But look at the last part of the verse. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. The middle part of the verse, the outward man is perishing. There's the continual changing taking place in your physical body and your age and your health. But the inward man now that is focused on the eternal, that's being renewed day by day. And it's getting stronger. It's not getting weaker. Your inward man is stronger than you were before. It's not decaying. It's stronger, and you're more focused on where you're going, and you're going to get there. Your anchor is solid. It's not going to budge. And so even though you may find yourself disoriented because of the continual struggles and the changing body and your health, keep your mind focused on the eternal. Look at Paul pertaining to this, 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 8, through 10. Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And then he says in verse 9 and 10, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I wanted to read this verse to you because I want you to realize even the Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh, because I know there are members here who have thorns in the flesh. That is, you have physical illnesses. And you go to God about your physical illness, and you're praying for healing, you're praying for better health, and yet sometimes the thorn remains. And the truth of the matter is, you will carry your thorn to your grave. And the truth of the matter is, sometimes the thorn will be what takes you to your grave. There's the cold, hard reality of our life. Okay. Are you going to let it beat you down when the thorn hurts? Are you going to make it discouraged to where you give up on your relationship with God? Paul did not allow that to happen to him. When God told him, my grace is sufficient for you, Paul realized, okay, this thorn is going to remain, but I am going to use it as a means to make me stronger, because I'm going to trust in God, and I am going to keep my eyes on God, and I'm going to keep pressing forward. You remember the text over in Philippians? Pressing forward. He pressed forward with the thorn all the way to the close of his life. Don't let the thorns cause you to give up on where you're going and lose focus. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 puts it this way. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. I got a question for you. At what stage of life is this verse true? And the answer is, every second of every minute of every hour of every day of your life, this verse is true. The conclusion of the whole matter of you and your reason for being here is to fear God and keep his commandments, keeping your focus on God, even when you're being disoriented because of your health problems. Keep your focus on God, trust him, and keep his word, and keep moving forward. And then we have the ever-changing relationships in family. In Genesis 2, verse 24, it says, therefore a man leaves his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. There was a time in my life when I was single. To be quite honest with you, the income that I had, I lived as though I was going to die at the end of the week. I ate out every meal. I had a house filled with my clothes. I traveled wherever I wanted to go. And then I got married. All the clothes you see I'm wearing came from Goodwill. Things change. And when you get married, all of a sudden, especially if you're a man, you realize, wait a minute, I've changed my God. I am responsible. I'm supposed to be a husband. And then as a husband or as a wife, there comes a point in time when you say, honey, it's blue. And what that means is you have children. Psalm 113 verse 9 says, he granted the barren woman a home like a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. After you are married, and you need to realize, when you get married, folks, here's a big change. What should your orientation be then when you make this humongous change in your life of getting married? I'll tell you what your focus should be. Keeping God at the center. Keeping God at the center of your marriage with the understanding, okay, my spouse, my husband, my wife, that I am now one with, our goal is to get to heaven together. That must always be the center of your entire relationship with your husband and your wife. Because in your marriage, there's going to be roller coaster. There's going to be difficult days and blessings, and sometimes they'll come in the same day. And then when the children come, what should the focus be when the children come? It must be understood one simple reality. Our focus is to get the children God has blessed us with to heaven and to do everything we can to love them and teach them and mold them and shape them to help them make it to heaven. To where as they go through their lives and they're continually going through change and continually having all kinds of roller coaster problems, teach them the importance of keeping your focus on God in heaven and just trust Him and just keep going forward by faith. Because when you have children, you're talking about changes. Changes in your life. Yes, there's a lot of problems, but I'm here to tell you, folks, it's so many blessings. Every single day, there's going to be wonderful blessings with your children. Soak them in. Enjoy them. Job says now in chapter 29, 1 through 2, Job further continued his discourse and said, oh, that I were as in months past, in the days when God watched over me. And he explains this further in verse 5 when he says, when the Almighty was yet with me, when my children were around me. That's a hard verse to read. What was Job longing for here? He just wanted to go back. He wanted to go back to the way it was a few months before, when all 10 of his sons and his daughters were around him. And he was soaking in their presence and loving them and being around them. And now they're all gone. Now they've all died. The Lord gives. The Lord takes away. The Lord blesses us with family. But sometimes there are those in our family that die ahead of us. You know, generally speaking, the older die first. But that's not the way it always really is. Many times, unfortunately, the children die before the parents. And I guarantee you, every parent who has endured that and is still enduring that change longs and wishes they could go back, even for a moment, to just be with them again. Losing our loved ones, our children, our husband, our wife, our mother, our father, is one of the most difficult trials to go through in this life. All of us here probably already have had this happen to us, and we know it's going to happen again. And when it happens to us, it doesn't matter how much you see it coming. You're going to feel grief and sorrow, and you're going to have a difficult time functioning because of this change in your life. 1 Timothy 5, 3 through 8, excuse me, 3 through 5 says, I know widows who are really widows. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. The widow. In ancient times, when you were a widow, Your primary means of income was gone. Your husband's gone. You talk about changes in life when you're not even able to get out and get a job. How are you going to survive? How are you going to make ends meet? Let me give you a verse on this. 1 Timothy 5, going back to it now, verse 5. Now she who is really a widow and left alone, notice the next phrase, trust in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. What I'm trying to show you is here, this woman who is a true widow indeed, who has lost her husband, who has lost her primary means of income, who has lost the man that she loved, the man who completed her, he's gone. How does she deal with that kind of change? Grief and sorrow and then trying to just survive. I'll tell you how. She keeps her trust in God. She keeps her focus on God. She takes all of her supplications, all of her prayers, all of her fears to God in prayer. That is what I'm trying to teach you. In this ever-changing life, where we're talking about changing of finances, changing of needs, changing of health, changing of age, changing of family, losing family, death around us. How do we maintain any kind of sanity? It is by keeping our eyes focused as best as we can on our God and going to Him and pouring all of our sorrow and all of our grief and all of our fear and all of our cares and all of our worries and keeping our eyes focused as best as we can on our God and going forward by faith. Satan wants these changes and these thorns and these sufferings to beat you down and to get you to just quit, to give up on God and allow the grief and allow the sorrow and allow the fear and allow the struggles to just crush you to where you give up on God completely and go to hell. You've got to understand that's Satan's desire for you. I'll close the sermon with Psalm 61 and verse 2. For the end of the earth, I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Okay. The circumstances I've been trying to describe to you this morning in the sermon is the reality of where we are and where we're going to be in this life. We are temporary beings in an ever-changing life. And as it continues to change around us, we're doing the best we can to get our orientation back to where it is we're trying to go, and that is keeping our eyes on the eternal, keeping our eyes on that that is above, keeping our eyes on God, and trusting God, and praying to God, and realizing God will provide for my need physically. I just need to keep my focus on Him and trust Him and seek His kingdom and His righteousness. He'll take care of my physical needs and my family's physical needs. Sometimes when we go to God in prayer about our health, He allows us to be healed. Sometimes the thorn remains. Either way, keep your mind focused on God. Keep pressing on toward your goal by faith. And when you lose loved ones and you're grieving and you're hurting and it's difficult to function because of the grief, as best as you can, look at the verse here. When your heart is overwhelmed, you find the rock that's higher than you. You find the stability that is never changing, that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You find your way to God. And crawl up on the rock and just lay there. Until you get enough strength to be able to get up and keep going forward. I want to add one other point to this sermon. What do we do when we mess up in sin? You take it to God, you ask for forgiveness of the sin, and you get up, and you put your focus back on the eternal, you put your focus back on God, and you start going forward by faith again. As you're continually being thrown out of orientation and you're trying to get reoriented, realize what it is we're trying to keep our mind stayed on, focused on, and that is God. Satan wants you to just give up. Just quit. Quit coming to services. Quit worshiping God. Quit your family. Just quit. I want to encourage you. Keep pressing on. Keep going forward. Keep your eyes on God in heaven. This world where we are, it is indeed temporary, and yes, there are trials, and yes, there is suffering in it, but where we are going, it is eternal, and there is no more sorrow, and there is no more tears, and there is no more death. You're not going to have to worry about income in heaven. That's what we're trying to get to. And we still have race ahead of us. I don't know what's coming, but I do know what's coming. I don't know the details, but I guarantee you what's coming in the future is change. Your life is a continual fluctuation of changes. Okay? Just learn to accept that reality. And now, with that reality, as best as you can, keep your focus and your trust on God. I thank you for your kind attention. Would you please pray with me?